Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. It is opening day for the Diamondbacks. Feel good about that. Not much last night that I watched that was very interesting to me. The trade deadline for the NBA, there are years where I'm all geeked up about it. Who could forget last year, the Suns having five players yanked off the bus last year? So the deadline is tomorrow at 1, and the Suns are even worse this year. To this point, nothing has happened as of yet, but I'm not going to get all wound up about, you know, Brandon Jennings being traded. That's not me. That's not what we do here. I do have some thoughts on what the Suns should do, what I'd like to see them do. The trade deadline, the Dwight Howard story is interesting. It's actually a tragedy in some sort because Chris Bosh is ill again. He's got some stuff going on with his body, and it sounds like down in Miami that is kind of holding up what the Heat may decide to do. They've got a window. The Suns have no window. Okay, the window's closed here. Actually, it's a house with no windows. It's not even a house. It's just kind of some walls that have fallen down. In Miami, Dwayne Wade's 34. So you have to look at each team and say, okay, what is your window, right? Like in the Diamondbacks case, it's all great that today is pitchers and catchers, and Jared is out there. We'll check in with him a little bit later in the show, Jared Cohen. But this is not a one-year window if you're a Diamondback fan. The great thing about what the Diamondbacks have done here is they are set up, in my view, to have an extended run of being relevant. Like a year from now, when you have Paul Goldschmidt in place and you have some young players that are getting better and better at their respective positions, you have Shelby Miller as a young rising pitcher. You've got to start with pitching, and I think the Diamondbacks have that. So I feel very good that this is not going to be a, hey, 2016 is going to be the year. No, it should be 2016, 2017, 2018, something along those lines that for the next 3 years, we should be embracing baseball season here in a big way. And it's not that I don't go out to the games when they stink. I still love going to baseball games. I'm one of those guys that can go to a baseball game and enjoy it as simply on an afternoon or night game on a Tuesday night against a who cares team and get caught up with a friend or take my son and teach him how to keep score. You know, I love that. And the Diamondbacks were part of what I did a long, long time ago. So there's something within there that is still near and dear to me. I did do some of their play-by-play as a backup guy. I did do their pre- and post-game shows. I was the original guy. We did play stickball down there when it was a weed patch. We did go to Florida when they were granted the franchise and almost lost the franchise. So, yeah, I'm very, I think, fondly of those years for me and for a lot of you with the Diamondbacks. And there's been many years where I've been frustrated with the direction of the organization, but I really like where they are now. So spring training for the Diamondbacks and the Suns, it's kind of like you have these two things here. One is being torn down, and that's a franchise that I've done a lot with through the years as well, and I don't like at all what's gone on there, but at least I care. At least I'm pissed. Because there's just too much of, well, let's just move on to something else. No, I'm not going to sit here and watch something fall in disrepair and just kind of say, well, we're going to just sit here and talk about free agency in the NFL all year long. That's not me either. It's not good what's gone on, what is going on down there. Our friend Paul Coro noted today, did a very good job in the Arizona Republic, AZ Central, which we partner with. Eric, if I were to tell you that Tyson Chandler has 3 years left and $39 million on his contract and he's 33 years of age.
Yikes.
I mean.
Yikes.
That, again, you're looking at deals. Paul intimated this morning that they would be willing to part with Brandon Knight and Tyson Chandler by tomorrow. Well, I don't know. That's what they did last summer. So every time you guys make a move, it's, well, maybe this didn't work out.
Well, what did work out, Brad, what did work out was Devin Booker, which would make Knight expendable.
Yes.
And what does that say? I know I'm just basically going from what Paul said, but he's 24 years old and he could be traded for the third time if the Suns steal him before tomorrow afternoon.
But it's maddening when you see this revolving door here and there's no end in sight. And so they can say, well, you know, we drafted Devin Booker in the first round and we had no knowledge that this would happen. And they wouldn't say that it was a pleasant surprise and it's a commodity and we always have to evaluate our options and yap, 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 yap. What it means is we missed there because we got totally caught off guard with how good Devin Booker is going to be. And maybe we can pull something. Maybe we can pull a rabbit out of the hat. Maybe not. I heard Jabari Parker is available in Milwaukee. I would take a good, long, hard look at Jabari Parker. I really would. I would have no interest in Dwight Howard. None. Zero. Zip. That's not where this organization is. However, if you look at Houston, Houston is always tearing their roster apart. And is James Harden going to be happy in Houston? I don't know that as fact. He may be thrilled, but they're going to go from being a team that was supposed to contend into pretend pretty quickly. There's always that chance that you knock on a guy's door and say, you know, would you ever consider moving? Yeah, you know what? I don't want to be here. And the Suns do need a star. So if Houston is tearing the thing down, then go make the call. Don't sit here and play it safe, because playing it safe hasn't gotten you anything in six long, stinking years. And I don't want to go through each guy's deal. Just there's some common sense. If you're an aggressive, smart ownership group, Markieff Morris would have been gone a long time ago. Doesn't matter what his number looks like. Oh, yes, it does, because the salary cap. No, because culturally he doesn't fit. And the fans are tired of him. They've been tired of him. So I don't want somebody pushing numbers down me when just common sense says, get him out of here. You know, Archie Goodwin is a young player that came out of school too early. He's one of those guys you burn a first-round pick on. Maybe you get something for, maybe not. I think I've seen enough of Archie Goodwin to decide to myself I'd rather have Devin Booker here long-term. At some point, you'd like to see some ballers, some guys that have been around the league that can play, that are consistent. And we haven't seen that yet, so... Tyson Chandler, 3 years left, $39 million deal. That's a miss. That is a miss on a contract. Because he wasn't just, you're not paying almost $40 million to a guy that just fill out a roster. And that's what they're doing because they're not a playoff team again. Just a flat miss. They have five first-round draft picks over the next 3 years. Five. So when you have five picks, how about, I don't know, try to do something with them. Well, we want our flexibility. After a while, 6 years of asking fans to put down money to watch this and asking sponsors to be involved in this, at some point, you can't keep giving the rhetoric of we want our flexibility. At some point, you have to do something, anything. So I'm not saying you panic tomorrow, but what I'm looking at big picture with this thing is there's plenty they could do tomorrow. And I hope Ryan McDonough does do five guys and pull them off the bus again. That would be terrific. It would send a message that at least they care what's going on here. Because I do have to wonder about that. They may say they care. I don't know if they care. I want them to stink for the rest of this season. But you can make some moves. I'll tell you, Memphis yesterday picked up Ryan Anderson. It's a who cares deal, but as soon as I heard it, it's like, that's a very smart deal. Here's why. Memphis loses Marc Gasol for the rest of the season. They're not going to go in the postseason and do anything this year. Ryan Anderson, Birdman, his contract's expiring. So all this is we're going to take this guy for the rest of the year. He's going to play. He's not going to be here. We're going to let him go. We're going to have more flexibility this summer. I get that kind of move. I really do. Smart. Eric caught up with Tyrann Mathieu yesterday. How'd this, you were out at the training thing? How did that work?
Out at the Fisher Institute, which is down by the base of South Mountain. It's where a lot of these pro athletes and hopeful pro athletes go to train.
Brett Fisher is one of those guys that if you have an aspiring athlete, and they don't pay me any money for this, this is where you go, right? So the place is loaded. It's over off what? University and
32nd Street, something like that, off the I-10.
Yeah.
And as we were waiting in the lobby to go shoot Mike Bercovici, Gary Chambers, DJ Foster, some other local players that are training there.
Everett Golson was there, I heard.
He was. Yeah. Miles Jack. Honey Badger came strolling through the lobby because he is there rehabbing his injury and had a chance to just catch up with him for a couple minutes.
All right. That's good stuff.
That was the raw, unedited.
No, that doesn't matter.
We butted two bites together.
No, they don't need to know how sausage TV is term. Made. Nobody so, wants yeah. to know how sausage is made. They just eat sausage.
But it was great seeing him, and he was cordial and friendly and in good spirits, as he always is.
He is one of the cornerstones of the franchise, and he deserves a long-term deal.
And he's little, Brad. Man, you stand next to him, and you're like, it's incredible what he does. He is probably 5'10 at the tallest, well, and he can dominate a football game.
He's a difference maker, and I've had some people that have said, well, he's already been hurt a few times. He's already had this. He's already had that. There's a difference between, like, Eric Bledsoe and Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah, Eric's had a bunch of knee injuries. In basketball, I can't have my guard cut and go, oh, he's down. Tyrann Mathieu, I look at his whole body of work and what he brings in, and I say to myself, I want him here full time.
He's so passionate. I mean, the guy wants to be great. Well, he doesn't just talk about being great. He wants to be great. He puts in the work to be great.
Well, and we're gonna talk about Ronda Rousey in about 15 minutes because there's some similarities there of greatness in given sport. Or you guys at your work, at your place of work, you aspire. I would hope that you aspire to be great. I aspire every day for greatness. My bar is way up here. And Tyrann Mathieu is way beyond that. It's good to see him back. It really is. So we've got a few things we're working on today. I want to talk about this Ricky Fowler-Rory McIlroy matchup. Is this kind of a joke or is this something that golf needs? They're going to go mano a mano with a couple of celebs in prime time on television. But up next, ASU U of A meet tonight in Tucson. And Kyle Dodd, Sun Devil analyst, will be with us. Kind of want to get a State of the Union on where Bobby Hurley is here in his first season. And also tonight's matchup, which is on national television as well. That's with Kyle Dodd, Sun Devil analyst. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
So tonight in Tucson, it's ASU heading down to take on the Wildcats. Look, U of A is a lot better than ASU is right now, and that's not Bobby Hurley's fault. And he's inherited a program that just doesn't have much size at all, so they get crushed. Like the other night, I was at the UCLA game, and they just got pounded on the boards. And I think they've hit a bit of a wall. I saw Kyle Dodd down on the floor. First of all, Kyle Dodd's son, how old is your son?
Just turned 8.
Just turned 8, so it's a timeout. I don't know, Eric, if you saw this as well, but Kyle Dodd's son, was at the timeout or halftime, your son put on like this shooting display. And the student section, they didn't have the curtain distraction out for Kyle Dodd's kid, but you're telling me he's not even a baller and he's just draining threes. So am I supposed to start telling the staff to keep an eye out for this kid or what's going on?
No, I want to keep him away from basketball. I already yell at him enough at baseball and football. So hoops would be a disaster for me, but he's just starting to get into it. He really being the ball boy a handful of times this year has sparked his interest, and now he's dribbling up and down the hallway and got a hoop out front, so he's enjoying it a little bit.
Yeah, good luck with that. He's playing on Keith Poole's travel team, you're telling me?
Yeah, Keith Poole, they have a flag football team. Keith's son and my son Taylor are good buddies, so Keith's son plays on our baseball team, and then we play on the football team, and
wow,
good group of kids.
If you're surrounded with Keith Poole, that's a problem.
Tell me about it.
Giving you a hard time about that.
He's a good dude.
All right, yeah, no, he is. He is. He really is. Okay, so let's get into this. Are you happy with where they are being ASU under Bobby Hurley here in year one? Are you seeing progress?
I think obviously nobody around the program wants the record to be what it is right now, and especially in the Pac-12, but just I think big picture and keeping things in perspective, if you see the bench that he has and the front court that's so undersized and just numbers, numbers-wise, he just can't play a lot of guys right now. But to win some of the games they've won and to play as hard as they do and really be in every single game, there's only been a handful of games where you just really thought, okay, they don't have a chance.
Right.
But I just think the fact that these guys have bought in, and he just does a great job of, instilling in his players basically what he had as a player, and that fire and that energy. And you see it on the sideline. He's no different as a coach. He's, you know, I get to see him run up and down the sideline right in front of me every game. So he's definitely a fiery competitor, and it's fun to watch.
Talking with Kyle Dodd, ASU at U of A tonight. That'll be on the Sun Devil Radio Network. Of course, Kyle does the commentary and a former Sun Devil on the basketball court. And I want to follow up on that with Bobby. And the last time these two teams met, at the end of the game, he gets run. Some of the U of A people have told me that it was embarrassing. I would say to them, no, it's not embarrassing. It's somebody with some fire and some passion that actually gives a rat's ass about what's going on with this program. Has he bordered, though, on being a little bit out of control, or have you seen him try to rein it in here in the last few weeks? We have some video of this. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I think it's – I see both sides of it. I mean, obviously, Coach Hurley is very intense. He gets after the officials a lot, and I can't imagine it would be a very easy job to officiate one of our games because he works them, and he wants the calls that he thinks he deserves. But on the other side of it, I was, to be honest with you, I've been pretty disturbed this year at some of these officials and the sensitivity and not going as far as saying some of these guys are targeting him, but I've just never in my life, and I've been around the league as a player or as a coach or as an analyst for a long time, almost 20 years now, I've never seen officials, you know, antagonize a coach like sometimes I've seen this year. And I mean, I'm sitting right there, and I've heard on a couple occasions an official say, "I don't care who you are." So, you know, obviously that means wow. Bobby Hurley's Bobby Hurley, and you know, obviously one of the best college point guards of all time at Duke. And I think that just that gets a rise out of people. I'm not good with that. I think the you know, obviously, like I said, coach is hard on officials and you know, but what coach isn't? And maybe, you know, after the U of A game, I've definitely seen him definitely reel it in a little bit and tone it down. But at the same time, it's just tough to watch guys. There's some veteran officials in this league that know better. And really the guys that are good officials have had no problem with them. And we've had Randy McCall, who's been in the league for a long time. We've had him like, seems like every other game, and he's just done a really good job, I feel like, you know, on our games. And you know, he talks coach through some things, and it's really good. I mean, that's good to see. It just some of the other guys that are a little too sensitive and you know, just it's like I said, I wouldn't go as far as saying they're targeting him or anything like that, but it's not as bad as it seems.
You know, tonight is going to be interesting for me. You emceed the intro for Hurley, the press conference, when he was brought on board. I remember that vividly. And Michael Crow had a little exchange with a Tucson beat writer. And Bobby was kind of like, yeah, I got this. I've done Duke, North Carolina. So he's going on the road to Tucson for the first time tonight. I would imagine that it's going to be more passion directed towards him from fans and what we've seen during the Herb era and during the Rob Evans era, you know, and Freed's had his thing going with Lute, so it wasn't as nasty. But I think tonight's it's going to be interesting, from my view, to see how the fans respond to him and how the environment in Tucson. It's no Duke, North Carolina, okay? But tonight's going to be interesting for Hurley and his team.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And that's been, honestly, the fun part of year one is, you know, being at Kentucky and hearing them announce, you know, head coach Bobby Hurley, and the crowd just goes crazy, boos, you know. I mean, obviously you get the right being at UNLV.
Yeah.
And they announced Bobby Hurley, you know, Duke and UNLV had that little thing, the rivalry going a little bit. And everywhere we go, honestly, and it's just, you know, it's a tribute, really. It's a compliment to Coach Hurley and the kind of career he had as a player. But, yeah, I think it'll be no different tonight. And you know, Tucson's a different type of atmosphere than most other schools in the Pac-12. I mean, you'll have a student yelling and cussing at you, but you also have an 85-year-old lady yelling and cussing at you and probably saying some of the, you know, some worse things. So it'll be a fun, crazy atmosphere, and I'm sure they're ready to roll. So we'll see what happens.
A couple other questions for you. Kyle Dodd with us. Hurley has not coached a whole lot of games, Kyle. He's not even gotten to 100 games yet, I don't think, in his career. He had like 60 when he came over here from Buffalo. Have you seen him kind of grow as a coach this season from your vantage point?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've watched, I think, and I tell people that a lot. I agree with you because it's, I think people think, well, Bobby Hurley, he played, you know, a long time ago. And I think they don't understand that really this is his third year
right
as a college head coach. So one of the things that I've noticed is halftime adjustments. I think, you know, he's done a tremendous job at seeing how the flow or the pace or what goes on in the first half and adjust accordingly. And we've been a pretty good second half team. And, you know, we climbed out of a lot of holes by doing some different things. And I think the thing that I'm most impressed with, and I probably, you know, I didn't know that he would be this sharp this soon, is just managing minutes. I mean, for a team that only has eight guys, scholarship guys right now, you know, everybody's averaging, the guys that are averaging the most minutes are still only averaging 31, 32 minutes a game. And that's pretty impressive to be able to manage those minutes and rotate guys in and out, keep guys out of foul trouble. I mean, Eric Jacobson's a guy that notoriously, you know, is always in foul trouble. And, you know, we've really only seen it one time where at Washington, we just ran out of, we literally ran out of players. But, I've been just, you know, really impressed with just some of the on-the-fly adjustments and some of the stuff they run defensively out of timeouts or offensively to get guys looks, and it's been fun to watch. And I think you can, if it's only his third year, I can imagine you know 5, 6, 7 years from now what kind of coach he's going to be.
Talking with Kyle Dodd, a couple of the questions. So you run AZ Power, right? The club team.
Correct.
And so I'm not putting you in a spot of violation because you do the games for ASU, but I get a lot of questions about Thon Maker, top high school kid in the nation, a 7-footer that would be an immediate difference maker, and ASU is on his short list. Just in the club world, what are you hearing about Thon Maker and ASU?
Honestly, pretty much stay away from the club basketball scene. I just do mostly the academy and the training mm-hmm. side of things. But I mean, obviously I'm also a college basketball fan and analyst. And, I've read a lot about, guys that are, you know, on the ASU shortlist or the ASU has, or they have ASU on their shortlist. And obviously a guy like that is a once in a lifetime type talent, and with his length and athleticism, and
you can't say much, you know, about him. You can't say much.
Yeah, I just think I think that he's, if ASU was fortunate enough to be in the mix on someone like that, that's the thing I think that impresses me more than anything, is that they're mentioned with a lot of these guys, where in years past, you know, you're seeing ASU and also being recruited by St. Mary's, Santa Clara,
Creighton,
you know,
yeah,
Creighton, those type of schools. Now you're seeing Arizona State, Arizona, UCLA, Cincinnati, you know, and those are the things that are encouraging signs on the recruiting front for me.
Before I let you go, what are you expecting tonight?
Oh man, I mean, honestly, I think it's going to be tough for the Devils.
Sure.
I think U of A's kind of back to hitting their stride, and with Trier back, they're really back to full strength and they're playing well, and they're just so big and physical, and you know, obviously a hostile environment. But every time I've really counted the Devils out or felt like they didn't really have a chance, they've somehow surprised me. So I know they'll play hard, and I know they'll compete, and I know they'll go down there and scrap and claw and do whatever they can to try to get a win. But I think most likely, it's, you know, the Wildcats are they're rolling right now. It'd have to be a perfect game for ASU to steal one down at McHale.
And you never know about that. I appreciate your time and your insight. As always, safe travels. Have a good show tonight. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
There's Kyle Dodd with us. Kyle is he does a great job on the radio broadcast, and he's become somebody. Do you know he's running Power now, Eric?
I did.
Yeah. So it's So in the club basketball scene, and I'm a hoopaholic, I'd say you're a hoopaholic to an extent. When I say hoopaholic, it's what's good for basketball here in town and actually for our state. You know, a kid in Tucson or You know, a kid like Mitch Lightfoot was in Tucson. He came up to Gilbert Christian. People can gnash their teeth all they want about how it happened. Bottom line is he's going to Kansas, and that's very good for our state.
Yep. A state like Arizona, where a lot of the best players have defected to Texas or Finlay Prep up in Vegas or the whole Marvin Bagley situation.
Yeah. No, that's a whole show.
That's a whole show. But you're talking about three or four of the best players in the state that are not here anymore. So we need the Mitch Lightfoots, and we need the marquee players to go play at big programs.
No, I think Alex Barcelo right now, if I had to call that one the point guard over at Corona, I'd say he's going to Stanford. I think it's Stanford or Virginia. They were the first ones to be in on him. That's just me. I don't – just looking at tea leaves and talking to people that are much smarter than I'll ever be on that front. Marvin Bagley is probably the biggest tragedy that I've seen on a high school basketball story in our state outside of somebody losing their life. Just complete, and it's not the kid's fault at all. It's completely the wrong way to go about trying to get attention for a kid who already has all the attention he needs right here in his own backyard and was a good student. It's terrible what's gone on there. A kid like Cameron Satterwhite over at Gilbert Christian, who's been off the radar this year because of a knee injury. So we like these stories a lot, and I would like to see some of these players come to ASU. I think Bobby has a really good shot at Thonmaker. I was told at the game Sunday by people around that situation that it's very fluid today. It's either ASU or the NBA or maybe go overseas. And he'd be here for 1 year. So up next, I'm going to talk about Ronda Rousey and how have you guys been in that space that you were so dark and so desperate and so lost? I know I have. I've never gotten to that point where she was yesterday on Ellen. And also want to talk about Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy, too, and this matchup. A few other things on my mind. I think Jared's going to check in with us. He's at the Diamondbacks locker room at about 10:50. Sports360AZ.com. We have plenty of content up on our website. We're here Monday through Friday. We do our thing. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. You can check out our content at sports360AZ.com. So pitchers and catchers report today. Jared is out there. Next Tuesday, full squad. We'll check in with Jared Cohen a little bit later on in the show. So go through the Diamondbacks schedule, and they should get off to a good start. They have three with the Rockies, four with the Cubs at home. Their first seven are at home. Then they go to LA for three, the Padres for three, the Giants for four, home to the Pirates. It's tough, but it's not overbearing and overwhelming. I know they struggle when they go to LA, but you know, three with the Rockies to start out at home, and if you split the Cubs series, you figure you're 4-3, 5-2, something like that. Greinke would pitch the opener on the fourth, and then he'd pitch the Sunday getaway, the getaway game against the Cubs. So, looking forward to that. Really excited about the season. Ronda Rousey was on Ellen yesterday. Part of my viewing habits, I'll open things up. Yeah, I'm the guy that wears a pink shirt, so of course I watch Ellen. I watch stuff, it doesn't have anything at all to do with sports because I want to be in tune with as much that's going on. I consume a lot of media. I consume a ton. I'm a podcast guy. I'm a satellite guy. I'm not too much radio as it is now, unless it's music. I'm on satellite a ton. And I'll watch Netflix a bunch. I've found through my kids that binge watching is not a bad thing. My wife is binge watching MASH right now. For whatever reason, I sit there and watch episode after episode that I've seen for 30 years. And she makes me watch it over again. And it's fine. You know, I watched the one with Margaret and Hawkeye making out in the middle of shelling. You guys have seen that one, right? Anyways, so when I heard that Ronda Rousey is doing Ellen, here's the thing with athletes nowadays. When you want to get your message out, you don't necessarily go to SportsCenter as your first stop. Your first stop is to go sit on the couch at The View or the Today Show or that just god-awful hour of Kathy Lee and Hoda, which is just the biggest train wreck ever. You do the afternoon circuit. You may go do Meredith's show. That show's hard to watch. Ellen's show is smart. But you'll see athletes show up on her show and they're pushing a product or they want to get their message across to mass appeal. How can we reach women has become one of the biggest parts in media today, in our industry. How can we reach more women? Because Joe Sixpack is sitting out there and he's struggling to get by on his salary alone. and he's fine. The 25-year-old that's got his ball cap on backwards, we can get him. But how are we going to go get more and more people? So Ronda Rousey decides to go on the Ellen Show, and she just drops a total bombshell. For those of you that don't think UFC is a factor, you're just missing the point nowadays. This thing is like boxing was back in the day. Here's Ronda Rousey yesterday with Ellen.
Did you worry for a minute, like, could this be permanent? Did I really hurt myself and maybe I won't do this again?
No, to be honest, like, what I was thinking, like, I was like in the medical room and I was like down in the corner, I was sitting in the corner and I was like, what am I anymore if I'm not this? And I was literally sitting there and like thinking about killing myself, and that exact second I'm like, I'm nothing. I'm like, what do I do anymore? And no one gives a shit about me anymore without this. And to be honest, I looked up and I saw my man, Travis, was standing there, and I was looking up at him and I was just like, I need to have his babies. I need to stay alive.
You need to stay alive.
I hadn't told anybody that. I think I only told him that. But that was like what I was thinking. Like, I was meant to have him when I was at my lowest, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so very emotional, obviously. And this was after her loss to Holly Holm. And the two are supposedly going to meet later on this year. Now, you could look at UFC and say that there's a whole lot of P.T. Barnum going on and that this was nothing more than a publicity tour. I tend to look at it opposite than that. I think all of us have to bottom out. All of us can, if you sit here and you think of your deepest, darkest day in life, whatever that may be, you've got to bottom out and then you got to pull yourself up. And if you don't think that's fact, you haven't lived life. Here she is. She's on the cover of SI Swimsuit Edition, by the way. That's why she was there on Ellen, to promote that and to talk about her future. And so she got crushed in her fight, just crushed. And it wasn't supposed to happen. She was the machine that went awry. So she bottoms out for the first time ever. I don't know about you, but when I bottomed out, and I bottomed out, it's hard to come back. It's really hard to come back. I can't imagine in her space where she's got everybody telling her that she's the greatest. And there's all these phonies around her because we see it in sports all the time. Oh, you're the greatest thing ever. And then when you do get knocked down, a lot of people just take off. They're gone. See you later. Good luck to you. Thanks for playing. And so she's trying to figure it out and talking about maybe taking her life while she's sitting there on a couch with Ellen yesterday. And it's crossed over all platforms. And it was talked about last night on national places. I'm spending time here on our little show that we do here in Arizona that is seen outside of the state too. But it's important enough to me to get to where she is. I get it. I understand where she is. I think it's great to see greatness want to come back. Greatness has to go through failing. So like Cam Newton, the way that Cam Newton was last week after the Super Bowl game. And he just got crushed for it. Just crushed. And I'm sitting here thinking, have any of you ever lost the Super Bowl? So he bottomed out. Not like Ronda Rousey, but I think along the same lines. When LeBron loses a title, he tries to be gracious, but because he's so good at what he does, he comes back. You guys want to hate on LeBron because he hasn't won title after title after title. In order to get to that point, you've got to go through the setbacks. You just have to. And, you know, for her, she's the star of that sport. Holly Holm is not the star. It's Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey's on the cover of SI. And she may have very good people around her that get her to those places. What was it, Eric? Did you see where Ronda Rousey asked, she went to, was it prom or... She went to a prom, right? Somebody that asked her online to go to a prom.
Yeah, I think I saw that on Twitter.
Somewhere. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's some things that she does. It's like Tim Tebow. People want to just absolutely destroy Tim Tebow because he couldn't get back in the NFL. And I see this week that he's doing a prom for special needs kids.
I did see that. Really cool.
100 times more important than if you make it to a Pro Bowl or a Super Bowl.
But Ronda Rousey was pretty ugly on Twitter before her match, basically calling out her opponent and dropping not so nice words, saying I'm going to bleep, bleep, bleep.
Sure.
And again, that goes into the whole UFC.
That's the persona that she has, right?
Right.
She's had this character built up.
But when you say hitting rock bottom, maybe a loss is exactly what she needed, so she doesn't feel as invincible as she thought she was.
Well, but and there's going to be a segment that's watching this that says, well, she hasn't hit rock bottom. She's got millions and millions of dollars. Okay. I've seen lots of guys and girls, lots of athletes, guys and girls, that have had the decimal point way down the line, and they're miserable, and they've contemplated doing things to themselves, haven't talked about it on Ellen, have blown up marriages, have blown up their lives, have blown up everything just because they had a decimal point. It doesn't mean a thing where the decimal point is. So I'm rooting for her. The plan may have been, let's put her on Ellen, but I can't go that far. I can't. I don't want to be that jaded that this was all PR, because I've seen some of that too. Oh, well, she just went on there. They told her to cry. I don't know that. I think that if you're that jaded, take a vacation. Get away from it. On the other side, so a little bit more about the NBA trade deadline today and also into the Diamondbacks locker room. I want to talk to you about Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy before we get out of here. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We have breaking news here. Eric, do you think I should do this? The Diamondbacks just sent me a note. They want to do a batting practice. Want me to do a batting practice Saturday the 27th at Salt River Fields, 2-5.
I'd pay to see you do that.
I think it'd be pulled hamstring, right? Throw a shoulder out.
Your back is bad already.
What are you talking about? My back is bad.
I've had surgery. Like surrounded in the batter's box by medical personnel.
The invitation is non-transferable, because I'd have Cole do it, or somebody else other than me. Snacks and water will be provided. It doesn't say anything about medical attention. Please bring your own glove and equipment, like I have one. No, I think I do, somewhere in the garage.
I have work gloves.
We will supply the bats and baseballs. Saturday the 27th, 2-5, Salt River Fields. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. All right, Jared Cohen is, by the way, he's down at the Diamondbacks. And where are you right now down there?
The Bunting Field, the infamous Bunting Field.
You're at the Bunting Field. Why not? Of course you're at the Bunting Field.
Yeah. It's the Bunting Field for the pros. It's the home run derby for me.
The Bunting Field. So do they have bunting, you know, the red, white, and blue stuff that they have out for opening day? Do they have that stuff there?
No, they don't have that. You know, it's just your everyday run-of-the-mill day at the Salt River Field to talk to
you. Well, okay, so let's go through this. You're standing on a baseball field, probably, I haven't seen you today, probably in shorts, tennis shoes, a golf shirt, sunglasses, on a cell phone, and you're getting paid, right?
Wow, are you watching me right now?
Yeah.
Is it like the show or something where I'm being watched?
You get paid to observe grown men walking in to hit a baseball.
Yep, I do, and they're pretty good at it.
Yeah,
that much. There's no question. But yeah, it's a pretty perfect day outside. I wouldn't want to really live anywhere else.
Yeah, you know, you're giving the vibe of this doesn't suck off to the people that are watching this.
No, it definitely doesn't suck. I can think of worse things.
Yeah, well, I'll remember this day the next time we've got an assignment in the snow, in the cold. You know, like Pullman on Christmas Day or something. You're going to be stuck with that. So.
All right. Well, I know Eric likes Pullman, so don't throw me out there so quickly. You better ask him first, because he's a big fan.
All right. So, in all seriousness, have you? I'm sure the vibe out there is one of this is going to be the greatest year ever, and it's so great. Spring training is here. Have you talked to anybody around the team, any players as they've walked in?
Yeah, just right before talking to you, we talked to AJ Pollock. Now he looks great. He has spent Christmas in Australia. And since he got back, he said he's been energized. He said that he hasn't been around a team where so many guys have been at the facility this early. It sounds like a lot of them have been here for over a month. And so this isn't really like a first day for them. It's just a first official day. Yeah. We talked to Robbie Ray. He's one of the names that's going to be competing for some of those limited starting rotation jobs. He's ready to do that. We saw some good things out of him. And he said he got some extra confidence for what some of the some of the things he was able to do on the mound last year, and also being able to work through being a rookie for the most part. So, yeah, they're energized. It's cool to be out here. A guy like Braden Shipley, talk to him, the young prospect. You know, the Diamondbacks traded a lot of prospects, a few in the pitching department as well. He's one of the few remaining at the top of the list, him and Archie Bradley. And he seems pretty energized and enthusiastic to be out here as well. So it's a good vibe. I love spring training. I don't know very many people that don't. And these guys look like they're really ready to go.
All right. And what's going on today out there? Is there any media stuff going on today? Anybody talking today, or is it just players? Locker room opens like at 12, right? Something like that, or
yeah, the locker room just opened up at 10, so we've been in there for a little while. Chip Hale will talk for his first official day of spring training at 1 o'clock today, so it'll be interesting to pick his brain of where he's at now that that the work has officially began for the season. And yeah, we'll hopefully see Zach Greinke come through here in a little bit, and Shelby Miller. And Gene Segura, some of the new faces, haven't seen them in here quite just yet. But it should be fun. It should be fun out here. And then they're just at the first of a month-long haul of getting ready for the marathon that is Major League Baseball.
You know, it'd be fun if you told me sometime on opening day, this guy came in and he looked like a load. He'd gained 50 pounds. He wasn't excited to be there. And they're paying him all this money. You know,
You know what? Well, also, Evan Marshall's here. And Evan Marshall's a great story. He got hit in the head last year.
Right.
And had to have serious injury, and you know, you're standing next to talking to him, and you see this huge scar on the side of his head. So that really made things sink in with what he's been through the last year. So no, he didn't show up, or no one else has really shown up 50 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
But just to think of what he's had to overcome in the last year since we saw him last. And then to see that giant scar on the side of his head really put things in perspective. So that really stood out.
It would be fun if Chip Hale sat down and said, I think we're going to win 110 games this year. I think that'd be fun. I think it'd even be better if he said. It'd even be better if he said, I think we got a 68 win team all written on us. You know, something like that.
Well, that wouldn't be the right.
Liven things up a little bit down there. You know,
we'll try. You know, they seem to be livening it up themselves, but you know they're optimistic and it's great. Looking forward to being out here over the course of the next month. You know, even just sit and watch baseball. I love doing that. So it'll be a good time.
There's Jared Cohen getting paid to sit and watch baseball. I like that. See you. There's Jared Cohen there. Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy. So what are we to make out of this? They're going to meet in June on primetime television. Now, it's June, so there's nothing on. And golf is trying something, anything, with Tiger not being a factor anymore. And to bring these guys along, and they're going to play with, it sounds like, Justin Timberlake and Mark Wahlberg. And I don't care about Justin Timberlake and Mark Wahlberg. I really don't care. But I would like to have the fourth and fifth best golfers in the world mic'd up. I would like to have them say things to each other while they're in their backswing. I'd like to see a little bit of anger and animosity towards one another, but I know that's not the case. I myself will watch. I am a sucker for stuff like this because I like watching McIlroy. They're going to do this in Detroit before the U.S. Open. Fowler against McIlroy. So that's not bad. It's not bad. Sports360AZ.com. That is our website, Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content. We're Arizona-centric. Check us out there. We partner with AZ Central Sports. A television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona at 6, 10, 1 a.m. and 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Thanks for being with us.